Today on Real Life Radio.
The money is not going to help you. The position's not going to help you. Clearly, the fame doesn't help you. Go now from this place and know this, that God has a plan for your life. His love for you is immense. His grace will get you all the way through to the end. Jesus is coming back.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace, but daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled, Go Now. The Apostle Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus who later became a leader in the early church. His story is ancient, but really and truly it's no different than what's happening with us today. We are still in need of a Savior, and Christ followers still need Peter's heartfelt words of compassion and encouragement. The title of Go Now means to go and do, or go and be. It's an active call to live an intentional life. A life holy and set apart and constantly aware of the soon coming return of Christ. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we can take comfort in knowing that God loves us and His desire is to save us. When Christ returns to the earth, it means that God's grace will be completed in full in our lives. Now with his message called Go Now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm very passionate about whatever I'm excited about. If I'm not excited about it, you'll know. I won't say anything about it. I mean, look, I don't care if the Dodgers or the Angels win. I know that offends some of you greatly, and you'll never be back to this church. I don't really care, though, about the Angels or the Dodgers. Here's the fun part about that. Whoever wins, that's who I decide to be rooting for at the end of the game. Why? Because I don't care. I don't have a dog in that fight. Does that make sense? And I don't get excited about everything. But in the context that I know you, if you see me on the street or wherever or here, I'm very excited about the things of God. I love the things of God. God has saved my life. God has given me purpose. God has blessed me. I can't believe I'm standing in front of you. This is a miracle. I'm so grateful to God. And I'm excited about that. But my mind, look, I have ADD. I have severe insomnia. Those are bad combinations, by the way. Because I'm up all night and all day, and I'm thinking all the time. That ain't good. I need to work at calming my mind down. I need meditation upon the Bible to keep the bubble in the middle. Are you with me? I know you're not like that. I'm the only one like that, apparently. I'm the one. I need God's word to stabilize the constant pull about my passions, whatever they may be. Emotional impulses can drive us and drive us to destruction. As I'm thinking about Judge Bailey, I just saw Judge Mark Peterson, Superior Court Judge Mark, sitting over here. I think about the men and women who sit and they have to decipher between the motive and what's going on to make sure that this is done. Now, they may have feelings about a case. They may have feelings about what's going on, but the law is that stabilizer. Are you with me? And as Christians, this is our stabilizer. I feel like we were in England, Lisa and I were in Cotswold in Cornwall, England on our vacation. Lisa took me there for, it was my 60th birthday. She planned the whole thing. It freaked me out. It was amazing. Well, the first thing that freaked me out was driving on the wrong side of the road in the wrong side of the car. I'm not kidding. We got out there and I'm going, and in five minutes, I said, "What are you doing?" And then I remembered, I was the one on the wrong side of the road. I was in their country, and they're looking at me like I'm nuts, and I was telling them how to drive. And then I realized, wait a minute, I'm in their country. I'm the one in the wrong. And I had to bring my emotions. It's terrifying. And then we're in the countryside, and the country, you're driving in a road that's hedged in by 10-foot high hedges, and it's wide enough to get your car through. That's it. You have to pull your mirrors in at times, and then somebody comes down the road, and you have to back up a half a mile. How do you get around in this country? It was amazing. And all along the way, until I began to get used to it, I said, okay, this is the way that it is. I just need to be careful because I love to drive. You know that. But I was driving Lisa nuts. Poor thing, she's over there on the right side of the car, but with no wheel. I'm on the wrong side with the wheel. And numerous times she said, now, Jack, you're the one on the wrong side of the road here. You need to go to the left side. Because my emotions were saying one thing, and yet I had to go back to the truth. Maybe my emotions say, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to think this, I want to think that. And listen, I need to get those thoughts under control and bring them in line with the will of God, in the Word of God. And that's done by the grace of God, God's grace. The Bible says, listen, the same verse, but in the King James Version of the Bible, 1610 version of the Bible, it says, and read it with me, look at it on the screen, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. And this is a great word. Now, I don't know if this excites you or not, but I love the meaning of the word end here in the old King James. The word is teleos. It's a scientific term, teleos. The word means in the original language to transfer logos, word, information, logic, data, to communicate information from point A to point B. Teleos, for those of you who are in physics or mathematics, you'll recognize that that's the root word to our modern day vernacular word of trajectory. If you launch a missile or a rocket, or if you're on a flight from Los Angeles to Paris, you're going to be on a trajectory. Satellites help that. GPS will help you with that. What does it mean? It means that God is saying, listen, Christian, that from the moment Christ comes into your life, you are on a trajectory that God has determined its finish point. Did you know that, Christian? Yield to the will of God. Embrace the grace of God in your life, in your relationships, in your business issue, in the stuff at work or in the stuff that's taking place. Don't panic. Get the bubble in the middle of the level. You can do that through Christ because why? God's in control. Follow him and you'll find your life on a trajectory that is going to land in the exact pinpoint spot that God has ordained. Christian, God wants you to live your life like that. That's good news. That is wonderful news. Listen, you know what should be banned from the Christian language? The word luck. There's no such thing as luck in the Christian life. If you go to Ireland, they'll tell you, may the luck of the Lord be with you. Isn't that funny? What a statement is that? The luck of the Lord. Did you know in Hebrew, there's no word in Hebrew for coincidence? There's no word. Because the God of the Bible doesn't operate in a coincidence. He doesn't work in chance. He's exact. His details are perfect. Your life today and the life that you're living, listen, assuming you're walking with God, if you're not walking with God, that's okay. Just change course today and begin to walk with him. And you're gonna find order to your life. You're gonna find a trajectory for your life. And listen, you may not, we will not understand all things that are taking place in our life, but you can relax. God's in control. I hope you know this. I hope we're all on this journey together as we follow him. You may think this is cool or not, I don't know. I tried it last service and it didn't work, but when I started looking at trajectory, it was very spiritually romantic to me to learn. It led me to an article regarding the Apollo space programs. And it said that at the 15-second mark of the countdown, when it reached 15 seconds before ignition of that rocket that stands taller than the Statue of Liberty, NASA ground control would say to the astronauts on board, guidance is internal, close quote. Meaning that at that moment, that which was programmed on Earth had been teleos, placed now inside the aircraft or the spacecraft just before launch, which would guide them from Earth to its or to their destination. What was external was now placed internal. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit, who has been outside convicting you of sin and telling you about heaven, now that you open your heart to Christ, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will now dwell where? Inside of you. And from that moment on, every true believer has an internal guidance. Guidance is now internal. God leads you from the inside. That's why we give a great stress to Bible, more Bible, Bible. Why? The more Bible that's in you, the greater guidance system you have for decision-making and for life. God's great grace is there for that to happen. And of course, that word grace means unearned favor. It means that you were blessed without even asking. It means that you were blessed by no means of earning it. What do you think about that? I think that's a good thing. I think that's a great thing. You don't earn it. It's given by the grace of God. God does that with his grace toward us. The Bible says, look unto the Lord and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Look to him. Third thing in verse 13 is the fact that God's love is provided. It says that the grace that is to be brought to you. See the word brought? This is an amazing word. The word brought means that it's to be carried aloft. It is to be borne aloft. The word is a nautical term. It's a sailing term from 21 centuries ago. And it means this, that the wind hits the sails. And when wind hits the sails, what happens to the boat? The boat begins to move. Under what power? Listen, is it under the power of the boat or is it under the power of the wind? And God is saying to us that very thing, that God's grace is being brought to you. It's arriving. Now this week, since I got back, I've been to numerous homes and gatherings where people have either passed to Jesus. And so I was with the family with tears. They were praising the Lord because mom, wife knew the Lord. And they're not lost. They know exactly where they're at. And then I met with somebody this last week who's gone to this church for years. She can't make it anymore. She just had to surrender that freedom. 96 years old, Audrey, missionary to Guatemala, 96 years old. And she's all bummed because she can't come to church. But she's ready to meet Jesus. And she's finished her course. She wants to go. She hasn't gone yet, but she wants to go. She was so happy to go see Jesus, I wanted to go with her. It's like, let's go. She's talking to me and she's talking about him. And you would have thought that she's 16 years old talking about some boy she met. And it made me jealous in a precious way. What does this mean to the Christian? It means theologically that every day you live your life, you're getting closer to the day the Lord comes for all of us or the Lord comes from you. And it means this, his grace is increasing toward you. It's being brought like a ship that is being brought or pushed along by the wind. Every day, are you a Christian? Every day his grace is magnifying. That's what it means. To the day when your moment comes.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
You know, Lisa and I went and stood at the place where Hugh Latimer in England, in Oxford, was burned to death at the stake for preaching the gospel. How is it that you're being burned to death at the stake and you're preaching the gospel as the flames consume you? And you have an agreement with your fellow prisoners that if I'm not tormented by the flames, I'll keep my hands up. You guys watch me. If I'm not being tormented by the flames, I'll keep my hands up. And they stoke the flames around these defenders of the truth, and they preach the gospel with their hands up on fire, ladies and gentlemen. How does that happen? It's impossible, but for the grace of God. Do you understand that? That was brought to them. And listen, if you're in the hospital for cancer, if you've been in an accident, whatever's going on in your life, God's grace as a believer is being brought to you. Think of a butler, as it were, bringing to you these benefits that you could never get on your own. It's being bestowed to you. God's grace is being brought to you. You don't need to fear the future. And for every one of us today, what I just challenged you with a moment ago will become more precious. You don't need to worry. God's love is going to be provided. His grace will be there because God's will is to govern your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, you already know it, but let me repeat it. This is what's being brought to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, that's God's sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that includes me, shall separate me or shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. Do you believe that? You will not only survive if you believe that, you'll flourish because you'll know that God's love is provided for you. And then he says in closing, it's going to happen at the revelation of Jesus. This grace is coming, and it's ultimately consummated at the coming of Christ. Look at the end of verse 13. By the way, this is the fourth time in 13 verses that Peter makes mention of the coming of Christ for the believer. We're comforted by this, comforted by the return of God. This is our final point. Listen, it's our final point. We still have 10 minutes. It doesn't mean we're done, so hang on. It's our final point. You guys, the Bible is clear from Old to New Testament. Every one of God's kids are comforted in the Bible and revealed to us to be a clean, clear doctrine of the Bible that the return of Christ for us is a comforting thought. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, regarding the coming of Christ, that he could come at any moment, therefore comfort one another with these words. Don't answer out loud. I want to ask you this question. Are you right now comforted knowing that Christ could come for you today? If you're not comfortable with that, I ask you why. If Jesus came today, if Jesus met you 1 hour from this service today, does that terrify you? Does that put a little bit of fear in you? It shouldn't. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you need to ask him why. Ask him to show you. He loves you. Is there something keeping you from God? Maybe you're a Christian today and you say, well, Pastor, I love the Lord, but that kind of terrifies me. By the way, I asked for a service this. I'll just give you the same answer. Some said out loud, they said, I don't want Jesus to come today because my grandkids aren't saved yet. That's a legitimate concern, but you pray for them. That's irrelevant of God's coming or not. That's irrelevant of that. God knows his timing's perfect, but you pray, you tell your grandkids, you tell everybody. I get that. Somebody said, not being ready. Somebody said, loving the things of the world. Somebody had the boldness to say, living in sin. And you know that's true. Why would you not be excited about Jesus coming today? Peter told the believers 21 centuries ago that what's coming to the believer is God's abundant grace. That's good news, ladies and gentlemen. That's comforting. And the Bible says very clearly two very profound statements. 1 John 2:28 says, and now little children, isn't that sweet how the Bible calls you little kids? Abide in him. What does that mean? Hang out, live with Jesus day in, day out. That when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's God's will. Titus 2:13-14, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Ladies and gentlemen, family, that's good news. That's good news. The older I get, the more sweet the Bible becomes to me. I hope it's true for you. And by the way, you have to think things through as you get older. The other day, I saw a penny on the ground. A penny. Say, you know, so what? Well, it used to be I'd just walk by those pennies. But there's just something about getting older. She's like, that's a penny. Didn't Ben Franklin say a penny saved is a... Yeah, that's right. So then I had to stop and I had to bring my emotions under control and put them on the level and gird up the loins of my mind and ponder this for a minute, make a very serious decision. My emotions said, keep going. Don't even stoop down to get it. But then responsibility said, it's a penny. If I pass by, it's almost as though as I'm unthankful to God. And I had to weigh this out. And then I took my life into my hands because this is what I was thinking. If I bend down to get that penny, at my age, I could slip a disc. That'll cost me $1,000. Lord, show me thy will, O God. And I made sure I bent my knees and I bent down and I picked up the penny and I turned it around and I saw what was worth more than $1,000. Exactly. In God we trust. In God we trust. My friend, today, is it in God you trust? Because he's coming. There are more people from Madison Avenue to Hollywood Boulevard, the wealthy, the famous, killing themselves today. America is on a suicide epidemic. While the stock market's exploding, people are making more money. What's my point? Money's not the answer. Listen, in Beverly Hills, speaking last Friday night, you should have seen the parking lot. I felt like a fish out of water. In the parking lot, Mercedes. That was Mercedes-Benz, BMW. That was low life. Lamborghinis, Maseratis, Porsche. I never knew they made Porsches like that. Rolls Royces, all of these cars and all of this stuff. And I'm watching, knowing the statistics of what's happening in the world and watching all this pomp and glory pull up. And you would have thought, listen, dude, if you had this one Lamborghini pulled up, and it was, I got to tell you, it was awesome. Now, if you had a car like that, or even if you rented a car like that for the night, wouldn't you think, well, how would you get out of the car? What would you act like? All these people pulling up, they're like this. Like they're bored. Like something's wrong. Like, man, whatever. Of course, they act like that until you put a scratch in their car, then they go insane. What's the point? The point is this. Listen, if you were getting out of that car and you've never been used to that kind of car, you would have said, look at this car. No, listen, it's fake. It's a facade. Life, listen, the money is not going to help you. The position's not going to help you. Clearly, the fame doesn't help you. Go now from this place and know this. That God has a plan for your life. His love for you is immense. His grace will get you all the way through to the end. Jesus is coming back. Church, don't miss him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Go Now. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Hey, if you've got kids or grandkids, you're going to want to get this book. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's written by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, our younger generation is battling a culture of hate and adversity. You and I never really thought it possible. So for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life, our current featured resource, Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants is available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.